The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Leadership, it's such an important thing, whether it's at home, at work. And I think especially for sports fans, you would have the notion that team leadership can make or break a team's capabilities. Well, even in the corporate world, a leader can make or break a business's capability to sell. This would mean that having a good and effective leader would help a business in achieving its desired sales results. But just because someone's a business leader, or perhaps this person is put in a leadership position, doesn't mean that you'll automatically be an effective leader. So the question we're asking this morning is, what makes an effective leader in a business, and what financial impact does an effective leader bring for sales in a company? To help me out this morning is Jacinta Kwa, founder and CEO of JQ Coaching and Consulting. Jacinta, good morning and welcome.
Morning. Thank you for having me, Yalit.
So I guess we should start off really by asking, how on earth do you define an effective leader? Because I see the word effective, I think you've got to have numbers / results. Does it mean you started a business that makes you an effective leader, or just thrown into that role, or perhaps you're from a small team? What's an effective leader?
Yeah, that is an important question. Well, leadership is an attitude, not a title. And anyone with the desire, motivation, and ability to inspire and mobilize others towards a worthy goal is an effective leader. If we're talking about the context of leadership in businesses specifically, a leader in organization must fulfill three roles well. So first, they must be a leader of their people. They are able to get the best from the people that work with them. They are an expert in their business. They know how their business makes money, what promotes and what inhibits growth. And they are also an effective manager of the operation so that they provide system and structure for decision making and to get stuff done.
Jacinta, this morning, we're asking the question, or rather we're discussing the relationship between sales and leadership. And all that, of course, comes on the back of what you just mentioned about being an effective leader, right? So if I were to ask about the skills or qualities that make an effective leader, apart from desire, apart from attitude, and then I throw in the word sales, numbers, can you mix those two together?
One of my favorite quotes on leadership, this one is a very old one from Jim Rohn, and he said that the challenge of leadership is to be strong but not rude, be kind but not weak, be bold but not a bully, be thoughtful but not lazy, be humble but not timid, be proud but not arrogant, have humor but without folly.
You've just described an angel from heaven. That's a bit difficult.
It is. It is a difficult job. Yeah. And if you talk about leadership in sales, how they define the result is, of course, first, as a leader, you must set a clear goals. You set clear expectations so that there is focus, there is a direction on where to invest time and energy. But that itself is not enough. A great leader, they also invest time to provide timely feedback and coaching for their salespeople.
Okay.
Because a big part of sales success has to do with the mindset, the creative problem solving, the ability to make meaningful connection and build trust with the customer, and be able to take no, not personally, but as an indication to try a different approach. So the leader's coaching and feedback to help the people bounce back from their setbacks are equally important to ensure sustained results. So it's not just like a quarter one hit wonder.
Okay, there has to be some emotion involved, but not too much. Mm-hmm. How do you get there? How do you get to these things that you've described? I can imagine that this is, well, it is a very on-the-job training type of thing, yet at the same time, not quite. Yeah. You have to have some natural ability, right?
Yes, to a certain extent.
Okay, okay.
There are some innate ability in certain individuals to inspire, to lead, but I do believe that it is an ability that can be developed. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the phase of leadership is also evolving, especially if you look at the corporate world. In the past, we have a lot more authoritative, directive, command and control style. And today, with how fast the world is changing with multi-generation workforce, now we have three or even four generations, right? From boomers to Gen Z, all in the workforce. It's more global, it's more connected. We are moving to a more collaborative, a more influencing, more facilitative and coaching leadership style, what I call Leadership 4.0. Mm-hmm. And in fact, my firm just kicked off a year-long research project to identify the key trends and success factors impacting leaders in the Asia-Pacific region and what critical shifts leaders must make to thrive and to be successful in the digital era. So partly it could be training, it could be on the job training, it could be through experience through making mistakes and through opening for feedback.
Jacinta Kwa, founder and CEO of JQ Coaching and Consulting, the firm that she was talking about that has done this research. Actually, Jacinta, since you mentioned that, you know, I notice over the years, I mean, it has been changing, but I think people put in leadership positions need to actually be given the skills to be leaders. They need to be trained to be leaders, even though they have that natural ability.
Yes.
Very often, companies kind of put this as an oversight because they don't realize the financial impact it can have. So what is the financial impact if I have a good or if I have a group of good leaders within my company? How does it benefit me?
Oh, that is a great question. And you are right that often we just put people in the leadership position, just assume that they'll be able to be successful just because they were a great seller, but not always the case. So one way, of course, is the conventional way. You look at the business result, right? The sales, the revenue, the top line, the bottom line, the growth rate.
So you're talking about being a Singaporean, what's my KPI?
Exactly. And those are important because in business, we got to grow, we got to make money.
Yeah.
But those are lagging indicators. They reflect what already happened.
Okay.
And that doesn't reflect the full effectiveness of leadership effectiveness.
Okay.
So we also need to look at how the leaders are hiring the best people and develop them.
Mm-hmm.
How they're collaborating cross-functionally and bring greater value to the customers. How they're able to put the team ahead of their personal egoistic interests. And one of the way where we measure leadership effectiveness in leadership coaching is through what we call a stakeholder involvement. So we actually identify who are the stakeholders that impacted by that leader's effectiveness. It could be their report, it could be peers, it could be next level up.
Sure.
And it is through a combination of their feedback that we determine how effective is the leaders, because leadership is a contact sport. They get things done through others, through influence. So it's not just what they do and their impact on people. Their feedback from their stakeholders are equally important, and we take that into consideration of the impact and effectiveness of the leader, and that's one of the way we measure it, and that's one of the way we measure the ROI of the investment in leadership coaching, is the impact on others.
Jacinta Kwa, founder and CEO of JQ Coaching and Consulting. We're talking about the relationship between sales and leadership. Why sales and leadership? Because it's so easy to measure something with some kind of a sales success and whatnot. What's your opinion of this, Jacinta? We talk about measuring leadership, and really this is my next question. How do you measure an effective leader?
Yeah.
And we have that Singapore mindset of KPI, right? What about if, let's say, the leader's effectiveness or appraisal is based on how well his teammates do, or some kind of team's feedback about him, his team's appraisal of him. How open do you think we are as a society to accept that? Because, well, I climb all the way to leader and then you appraise me. How can?
Yeah. And we are already seeing some more progressive companies incorporating that. And they are not only looking at the team result, they may even be measured on their cross-functional team results. So we want to show how are they contributing to other team success, because it is all interrelated and there's interdependency. So there are organizations that are already incorporating that, incorporating the kind of talents that they're bringing in, incorporating how well they're developing their people, how their people are progressing.
Okay.
So we are already seeing that. And some of the company that we work with, we work in this KPI into the leadership so-called scorecard, because measurement drive behavior. If it's not in the measurement, then we are likely to react to the short-term mindset, because that's what is on the scorecard. That's what their bonus are based on.
Yeah.
So we got to make sure there's a skin in the game, and that all this support and collaborative qualities and impact on other functions and on their people and how they develop people must be part of the measurement. So that's a way to work out the measurements or KPI, maybe quantitative, qualitative, but it is important that it is part of the leader's so-called scorecard for that to have an impact.
We've got to measure all of this. Final question for you, Jacinta. We talk about the importance and benefits of leadership on sales, and really it's broad ranging. But if an organization has had a case of poor leadership, okay, it could be even middle management, how does this business bounce back?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Should a business need to bounce back from poor leadership? Very likely, relationships have been damaged.
Yeah.
Trust has been destroyed. There are confusions and uncertainties. Mm. So the first order of the business is to reestablish trust, getting to know the people who are still left. And it is important for the new leader to be very clear on where the business is going, to be very clear on the absolute priorities, to focus the effort, to be respectful and transparent should there be any direct impact on the people. So whether it is restructuring or even layoff. And also the two-way communication lines must be open and frequent during this sensitive time of change and transition so that we minimize fear, ambiguities and rumors and provide alignment, encouragement and support to one another.
A lot of humility, a lot of focus, yet at the same time you have that sort of structure in place that will really give confidence to workers again.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time this morning, Jacinta Kwa, founder and CEO of JQ Coaching and Consulting.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.